Welcome to Church Online. It's great to have you with us. A special welcome if you're with us for the first time. We gather together in this last week of Lent to share in the praise of Palm Sunday, to anticipate and journey through the events of Holy Week, and to give thanks to the Lord. My name is Lynn. I'm the minister at Adelaide West, and I'll be sharing with you today. We light a candle together, reflecting on the light and hope of Christ. Shining through the shadows of this week. If you're in Adelaide and watching this on Sunday morning, Churches Together SA has organised a Palm Sunday Peace and Justice Walk. It starts in Victoria Square at 2 p.m. and it's the churches in South Australia gathering together to walk in unity. Looking to Easter, we have services on both Good Friday and Easter Sunday at 10 a.m. online and in person. It's the time of year we can easily invite people to either in-person services or to church online simply by sending the YouTube link. Today, in this season of Lent, as we prepare and we reflect on this week's journey to Easter, we sing together, "To God be the glory. Great things he has done."
The reading today is Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were there, sent ahead, went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked him, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stone will cry out." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jesus is coming. Can you pick what's missing in this story today? There's something that we don't hear in this. Today is traditionally known as Palm Sunday. But in Luke's account, there are no palm branches. I wonder why. In Luke's account, we have the cloaks spread out on the road. So perhaps we should celebrate Cloak Sunday. Doesn't quite have the same ring, does it? In fact, palm branches are only mentioned in one of the gospel accounts in John. Mark mentions branches cut in the fields, and Matthew talks about branches cut from the trees. But three of the four accounts mention cloaks and putting them on the road. The people wore two layers of clothing. One was the softer layer, closer to the skin. The outer layer was the cloak, and it was a loose outer garment, a bit like a long vest, used for warmth and to keep the wind out. And they're placing these on the road to be walked over by a colt, referred to in other accounts as a donkey. We watch as Jesus and his disciples enter Jerusalem. It's a busy and joyful time. The Jews gather for a festival, the Passover, celebrating the nation's liberation from slavery many generations before. They celebrate this every year, and Jerusalem and the whole surrounding neighborhood is crowded with pilgrims coming for a great feast and a joyous celebration. The Passover is a reenactment and a remembering in the hope of a better life, despite the cruelty of empire at the time. The Passover was, and still is now, hope for the future. Jesus and his disciples approach Bethany at the Mount of Olives, only a few kilometres from Jerusalem. From the Mount of Olives, one looks over a valley and the whole city of Jerusalem is visible. We imagine that it looked a bit like this, without all the high-rise buildings, of course. I imagine Jesus gazing over to Jerusalem, knowing what's coming, and knowing that Jerusalem is the seat of power and religiosity. He sends two of his disciples to get a colt that has never been ridden, a strange request that they follow. Amazingly, when asked what they were doing by the owners of the colt, the disciples simply answer, "The Lord needs it," as Jesus had instructed them. And that is enough, and they're able to take the colt. We don't know if the owners say anything after this, but it would certainly seem strange. They hadn't even taken it for a test ride yet. Untying is mentioned four times. Seems to be quite a focus here. They will find a colt tied up. They are to untie the colt. They might be questioned about the untying. They did untie it and they were asked about the untying. I wonder if there's some imagery here of Jesus untying those who follow him from the darkness. from the stuff that grips us in life. They bring the colt back to Jesus and they put their cloaks on it. And Jesus rides along on the colt, and people start to put their cloaks on the road. Spreading clothes on the path and also waving branches was standard practice where important people arrived in the city. Casting clothing for rulers to walk on was a way of hailing them as a king. It showed deference and honor. What's interesting here is the contrast, because residents of Jerusalem would have been familiar with parades. They would have trot out to the gates and welcomed dignitaries. The concept isn't new. They would have lined up for whatever this was about. Kings rode horses, war horses in fact. Every Passover, Herod Antipas entered Jerusalem from the other side. He would ride a mighty war horse and have an entourage of soldiers. His purpose was to demonstrate the emperor's power over the city and to suppress any challenges to Roman domination, especially at Passover, when so many Jews gathered. Jesus comes to the city at the same time from the opposite direction, riding a borrowed donkey and escorted by unarmed disciples. This is quite a contrast. One is a showy parade of might and power, but here Jesus comes in humility. It was foretold by a prophet in the Old Testament in the Bible. In Zechariah 9:9, we read these words, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Lowly and riding on a donkey. Sometimes when we hear this story, it's easy to get caught up in the pageantry, the excitement, and we forget some of the symbolism. Jesus is coming as a servant on a donkey, humble and lowly. Kings serve by ruling, but Jesus rules by serving. The crowd is excited and they shout, "Blessed is the one that comes in the name of God." Words from Psalm 118. They knew these words. They would have known this psalm by heart. And Luke adds the words, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." This is a king who brings peace. Again, such a contrast to when Herod enters the city. I wonder what we listen to in our lives. Or who we listen to. Do we get excited by the showy parade of might and power on the other side of the city? Or do we marvel at Jesus on a borrowed donkey? Who is Jesus to you? The hymns and songs we sing say something about who Jesus is to us. Interesting. Sometimes they sound like the pageantry on the other side of the city, like Jesus on a war horse. It's understandable. We have imagery elsewhere in the Bible like that. Some of the religious leaders say to Jesus in this, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They're asking the question too. It could be that the Pharisees, who were concerned about the ruckus and that this seemed blasphemous. Or it could be that Pharisees who supported Jesus and they didn't want him to attract the wrong attention of the authorities. Either way, Jesus answers with, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." You know, we remember that this is the beginning of the week where everything falls apart and then it all comes back together. The stones crying out isn't literal. The rocks are not shouting praises to the Lord. The idea of rocks crying out in praise to the Lord is poetic. It's startling imagery. Throughout Scripture are similar poetic passages that present inanimate objects praising God. In the Psalms, mountains leap. In Isaiah, the mountains and the hills burst into song, and all the trees of the field clap their hands. At the end of this week, there is a large rock rolled over the tomb to seal the body of Jesus after his death. That large stone is rolled away supernaturally. We could say that the stone is speaking. It is announcing the resurrection. Or it could be the foreshadowing of the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem crumbled into a rubble of stones. And in the verses just after this passage, Jesus weeps over Jerusalem and refers to its destruction. Or it could refer to believers continuing to acknowledge Jesus. Even if you reject me, the cornerstone, the very stones will cry out, the believers, the stones connected to the cornerstone. And in 1 Peter 2, the Apostle Peter refers to believers as living stones. You know, if the people stop their proclamations, then even the stones will cry out. Later in the week, Jesus gathers with his disciples. And some of us have heard this story many times. The story can seem predictable. And yet for all the predictability, as we read the story again year after year, we marvel. We marvel at the selflessness of Jesus, prepared to stop at nothing, not even death, to proclaim God's unconditional and never-ending love. The stones cry out. Jesus comes. Jesus comes to break the seat of power and religiosity. Jesus comes to untie us from all the stuff that grips us. Jesus comes bringing peace. Don't be distracted by the showy pageants, the shiny things that come into our everyday. But instead be on the lookout for the one who comes humbly on a donkey, who comes to thwart power, to be a revolution of a different kind, certainly different to the one the disciples were expecting, a revolution that upset the unjust systems of the world and to bring peace, real peace. The Gospel of Luke was written in a time of uncertainty, with disease, power struggles, politics, and conflict. And we too are living in a time of uncertainty with a virus, power struggles, politics, and conflicts on our screens every time we turn them on. You know, the disciples and followers laid down cloaks. They gave up something of theirs for Jesus. What do we give up in our following? Are we personally invested in our faith, in our following of Jesus? Lay down your cloak. Give yourself. Don't be distracted by the shiny things, the big procession on the other side of Jerusalem. Jesus, who is all about life, is our hope. Not the fleeting power of Rome who occupied Jerusalem. Not the fleeting power of rulers today. We enter the city with joy as Jesus is our hope, Jesus who gave his all, who entered the city in humility. We pay attention to the little stuff. The humility of Jesus. If the gathered keep quiet, the stones will cry out. So as we enter this holy week, watch today as Jesus comes. Wait for God. We know God will come. Most of the world won't notice, but we wait for God, looking for peace, knowing peace in a whole new way. In this world of uncertainty, the coming of Jesus is good news. Blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Amen.
Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the
We're invited into prayer. We're invited into prayer as we participate in God's work and also to be in communion with God. So let's pray together. Loving God, blessed are you. Thank you for this picture that we've just been talking about where Jesus comes into Jerusalem. Blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. We praise you and worship you. Lord Jesus, we're sorry for those times when we don't see you, when we are distracted by the shiny things, or when we don't follow you in the way that you want us to, when we don't forgive or care for others. Thank you that these things and all our sins are forgiven. We are truly grateful. Holy Spirit, help us to always follow, to always notice, to always be ready to see you at work in the world. As we go into this Holy Week, help us to be reflective, to journey, to be in prayer, and to be sharing with others. Father God, we pause to pray for our world. We pray for places where there is no peace due to war, or poverty, or disease. We pray for places where there is no peace due to COVID, where countries or towns are in lockdown, where children can't go to school, people can't work. We pray for those countries where COVID has ravaged and poverty has increased. And we continue to pray for vaccines for all nations and all peoples in our world. Lord Jesus, we pray for our schools. We're mindful that as we come to the end of term one, that there is some exhaustion from all that work and needing to be so flexible in this term. So we pray for teachers and support staff and students. And in these next 4 days, we pray that they will get through, and for the time of holidays, that there will be refreshment and rejuvenation, and also a circuit breaker for COVID numbers as well. And Holy Spirit, as we do every week, we pray for people who are on our hearts. I think of those who are hurting, who have no peace, who are struggling with health issues, feeling alone. And we lift them to you. And pray for your peace, your grace, your love, and your healing to surround them at this time. And we respond to your amazing love with our gifts, both financial and practical. We lay these gifts before you, O God, just as cloaks were laid before Jesus long ago. And we give you these gifts in praise, thanksgiving, and joy. Receive them back from our hands that they may become a greater blessing in your hands. We offer all of our prayers in the name of Jesus, the cornerstone who is our hope. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you've found hope in this time. If you would like prayer, please send us an email, or if you're watching live, press the prayer button. We would love to pray with you and for you. As we enter Holy Week, can I encourage you to reach out to others, invite others to Easter services, either online or in person. And we look forward to meeting together on Good Friday and Easter Sunday at 10 a.m. This week, lay down your cloak. Give yourself to God. Look for peace. Reflect on the humility of Jesus and wait. Wait for God. And may the grace and the kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love and presence of God and the fellowship and friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you always. Amen. Blessings on your week. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.